All right, it's good to see everybody this morning. We're online. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. For all of you that's been praying for Kay, I want to thank you. The procedure she had worked and got rid of her dizziness. It was either the procedure or the bottle I found under the bed. I don't know which. It was either one or the other. But anyway, she's not dizzy anymore. And it's kind of a double-edged sword. She's not dizzy anymore, but now she can see me well, so that's kind of a disadvantage. So anyway, we're very thankful for your prayers and thankful that the procedure worked and she got rid of that dizziness that she's had so bad, and very thankful for that. She's planning on being here tonight. It's so good to see Jana here with us today, and Brother Charles Parr. Good to see him here with us today as well. I want to continue to remember Gail Redmond's husband, Claire, in our prayers, as he had the stroke, and he's in the nursing home now. So remember him in our prayers. Shirley Jennings in our prayers, all of those on our prayer list, and there are many that we need to lift up in our prayers continually and pray for them, and want to do that very much. All right, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Now, I have a confession to make to you this morning. Well, first confession is, these aren't my glasses, these are Sharon's, but they go with my outfit so well I may keep them. I forgot my glasses this morning. And they do make me look better, don't they? Huh? Right, I think it hides part of my face. In teaching in 1 Peter on the doctrine of election, I always hesitated to go into great detail on this for two reasons. Number one, it is very difficult. Number two, I didn't know how you could handle it. Those are two realities that we see when we teach on this doctrine that we find throughout Scripture. It comes down to this. As a pastor or a teacher or someone that God has called in the ministry, you have to make decisions. Are you going to teach absolute truth? Or are you going to teach what people want to hear? That's what it comes down to. Because many churches will ignore, bypass this doctrine that we find, as I've shared with you, throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Rather than try to tackle it and speak what they find in Scripture, they avoid it for the two reasons I just shared with you. Number one, it's very difficult. And in fact, you'll not understand everything about it until you get to heaven. I'm convinced with that. Number two, because it is hard for the human mind to grasp and accept by faith what God has said to be true because of our humanness. Okay? I've told you this several times as I've gone through this, but it needs to be reiterated again and again and again. So, God has called me not to tell you what you want to hear. God has called me to speak the truth as I find it in the Scriptures as best I can and relay that truth to you. Now, what you do with that truth is up to you. But He has called me to speak to you what I find to be true in the Scriptures as it is. Not what I want it to be, not what I wish it was, not what I think it ought to be, or anything else. So that's why I have been teaching on this, and that's why it's taken me so long to get to, Brother Jerry said, you mean we're in verse 2? Yeah, it's taken me 3 weeks to get through verse 1. But I hope I hope and pray that it gives you a deeper understanding and appreciation for the grace of God. This is what I pray and hope, that it will give you a deeper understanding and appreciation for the grace of God. If I accomplish that, then I have done what the Lord has called me to do. Now, we're going to begin again reading chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 2. And Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers, aliens, in other words, in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge, and this is where we're at in the word here, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, I have gone over scripture after scripture after scripture, Old and New Testament, where I have shown you that God has chosen without any outside influence, without any outside input. Our problem is this. We understand and see words in our language that bring certain thoughts to us. When we see the word knowledge, what do we think of? We think of gathering of information. Gathering of information. However, here in the Greek, in the original language, this word that he's talking about here is not talking about gathering of information. If it was gathering of information, then we could rightly say that God looked down through the eons of time and saw who would accept Him and who would reject Him, and therefore made His plans accordingly. That is not true. It's not the gathering of information. I gave you 5 reasons last Sunday why that could not be true. I gave you 5 reasons. One of the main reasons was it makes man sovereign over God. In other words, God would have had to look down through the eons of time, see what man would do, and then make His plans according to what man would do. That is not right. God is sovereign. We are not. And I gave you 4 other reasons why that could not be true. Now then, I'm going to show you something else this morning. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We can begin up in Let's begin in verse 18 of the first chapter of 1 Peter. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen. All right, now that word chosen is the same Greek word that said foreknowledge up here in chapter 1, verse 2. Same Greek word. Okay? In some translations, it is not translated chosen down here in verse 19. It is translated known. Okay? So now, because translate Scripture? How do you understand Scripture? You translate Scripture by Scripture. That's the way we understand it. We understand Scripture by Scripture. If Scripture says this here, and it means the same thing here, here, and here, if the same exact word is used. Okay. If that be true then, and it is, if the same Greek word is used here in verse 19 for chosen, as it is up here for foreknowledge, it means then that the same thing that God did for us, He did for Christ. And I want you to grasp this. The same plan that God had for us, He had for Christ. All right, now how do we understand that? How do we compare that? Well, if we chose the direction of gathering information, of knowledge, we would say, well, that means that God looked down through the eons of time. He saw what Christ would do for us. Therefore, that's what He made His plan from. But that's not true. That's not reality. That's not what that word means. That word means know or known. Okay? So what does it mean then? It means that before the foundation of the earth, without any outside influence, God planned for Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to be the sacrifice for our sins, to be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, live a sinless life for some 30 years, die on a cross for our sins, raised from the dead on the third day, and set at the right hand of the Father. That was the Father's plan. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? That that was the Father's plan. Well, then in the same way, the same word means the same thing when you look at chapter 1, verse 2. This was God's plan. Without any outside influence. Well, what was God's plan then? That you were chosen. Without any outside influence, without gathering information, this was God's plan for His Son, same word. This was God's plan for you, same word. Okay. Now then, I'll give you further proof. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes in, He leaves His disciples to pray, He goes on into the garden, and what does He pray? I mean, He's under tremendous stress, right? It says that the blood was coming out through the capillaries of His skin. He was under such duress. And what did He pray? Father, not my will, not my plan. It's in my plan, not my will, but Father, Your will be done. In fact, He said, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other plan, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Make it so I don't have to go through this. But if not, Your plan, Your will be done. So the Son was telling the Father there, in His plan, before the foundation of the earth, this was His plan for Christ. Same word, same thing. This was His plan for you before the foundation of the earth. Well, what was His plan for you before the foundation of the earth? Chosen. Chapter 1, verse 1. So what I wanted you to see was the same God, the Father, that we look at in the doctrine of election, that chose for you to be in relationship with Him, also planned for the Son to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world in that same plan before the foundation of the earth. Same thing. Now then, here's the rub. When we look at that and we say, well, this was God's plan for the Son before the foundation of the earth, we don't have a problem with that. But when we look at it and we say this was God's plan for mankind before the foundation of the earth, now you got a problem. But we're looking at the very same thing, very same plan, very same Greek words, very same outcome, God's plan. Are you with me? Okay, you see? Now, I'm going to... Let's see, where are we going to go now? Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to begin in verse 22 of the second chapter of Acts. Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man, who is it? All right, Christ, this is Christ. This man was handed over to you by what? God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Same word. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Same thing. Same thing. God's plan. God's plan before the foundation of the earth. Okay? All right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Let's start in verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. I'll give you time to get there. You folks watching online, give you time to get there as well. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I... What? Knew you. Same word. I knew you. Well, you say, well, sure, God knew who Jeremiah was going to be. No, that's not what he's talking about. I had a predetermined plan for you. Now, notice. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were born, I said, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Same thing, okay. Isaiah 49, just go back to Isaiah. 49, Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. Before I was born, the Lord called me. Some translations, instead of say called, say knew me. Same thing. Before I was born, the Lord knew me. Okay, all right, now I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. We're going to begin in 21. Matthew 7:21. I'll wait for you to get there. Matthew 7:21. Jesus is speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Same thing. I never, before the creation of the world, in the mind of God, I never chose you. I never knew you. This is what this word. Foreknowledge, if we want to write down a definition for what we find in Scripture, is the predetermined plan of God. I never knew you in my predetermined plan. Here we see Jesus speaking. He says, there's going to be many that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. He didn't say, I don't know you yet. He said, I never knew you. Okay. Has anybody got a question yet? Don.
Can they ever be saved?
No. No. What did he say? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Difficult, right? Yeah. Difficult. All right. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 14. Let's begin in verse 11. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hard hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hard hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Same word. I know my sheep, and they know me. No matter how you look at it, when you go to the Scripture without forming any preconceived idea as to what's right and wrong, and you take Scripture for actually what it says, that's hard for us, because I've always said this. I've always said most people have a God of their own making. In other words, they always have already have a preconceived idea in their own minds of what God, who God is and what God is like. They already have that formed in their mind. So it's very difficult for them to take Scripture and go and look at it and take it by faith at face value for what it says with this preconceived idea already in their head. We want to make it say what we want and like for it to say. You can't do that with Scripture. You have to accept Scripture by faith as God has given it to us. Same way with God. You have to understand. What's our knowing God? Okay. And making Him known. Well, how do you know God? The only way you know God is the way God reveals Himself to you in Scripture. That's the only way you know God. God reveals Himself to you in Scripture. That's the only way you know God. So you must then accept God's Word as He is, as He has revealed Himself to you in Scripture. That's what we're doing. Okay? Now then, all right. Now then, we're going to take one more step. Okay, now back to 1 Peter. Verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now then, think about this. This is another challenge for you, okay? Election and salvation are two different things. Two different actions of God. You say, well, explain that to me. Okay. For 30 years, I was part of the elect. But I'd never been saved. How old were you when you were born again? How old were you in 86? In 1986. How old were you? Huh? 43. So for 43 years you were elect, but you weren't saved. All right. What about you, Diana? How old were you? Got any idea? 36. I was about 30 years old. 30 years old. For 36 years, she was elect, but she wasn't saved. For 30 years, I was elect, but I wasn't saved. Okay. Well, when did salvation come about? Well, that's what he tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Go back. Verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Oh, the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Okay. Here we go. God the Father planned it. God the Son carried it out. The plan. Okay. God the Spirit brought it to reality. God the Father planned it. God the Son carried it, okay, carried it out. What? The plan. God the Son, not your will, but not my will, but your will be done, your plan be done. God the Father planned it. God the Son carried it out. And God the Spirit brought it to reality. So when I was 30 years old, God the Father had already planned it. God the Son had already carried it out. Now, when I was 30 years old, God the Spirit broke into my life and made it a reality, and I was saved. Are you with me? Okay. This is what he's saying here. This is the sanctifying work of the Spirit. What does it mean, sanctified, be set apart? The Spirit of God broke into your life, convicted you of your sin, showed you your need for a Savior, and when you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ, which God gave you the faith to believe, it was carried out. What had already been planned now became a reality in your life. You see? This is what he's saying here. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Spirit set you apart to Christ at that time because you were already elect, because the Father planned it, the Son carried it out, and the Spirit made a reality. Now, the only reason you can't lose your salvation is because the Father planned it, Son carried it out, Spirit made it a reality in your life when He broke into your life by the Spirit of God. Okay. Because the only reason you can't lose that salvation you had is because you had nothing to do with gaining it. Now you got a question. Yes, the church.
I mean, the whole universe, everybody that's under him.
Nope.
Right? He doesn't elect everybody.
Nope.
The elected are predestined.
The elect, as I said in Romans chapter 8, those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he'll glorify. Same thing. Right, that's right. I believe that's true. It's not his will any should perish. Because it says so in Scripture, right? Okay, but you can't figure it out, can you? Well, you're not going to. See, this is the thing. You're trying to figure, you're a natural person with a finite mind trying to figure out an infinite God that is absolutely supernatural. And it's not up to me to reconcile. It's only up to me to accept by faith the Word of God and what it says. So since somebody asks me, do I believe that not his will any should perish, but all might come to repentance, I say yes. They say, do you believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I say, sure. Do you believe what he says here in 1 Peter, that the elect are chosen by God and it's his plan from before the foundation of the earth? I say, sure do. That's what Scripture says. Somebody says, you understand all that? I say, no. But I don't understand how the Red Sea was parted and how the children of Israel walked across on dry land. I don't understand how God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah and spit him out in Nineveh. I don't understand a lot of things that Scripture says, but I believe it's the absolute truth because God said so. And I'll tell you another reason I believe it's the absolute truth, because I know that the Word of God did not come to me just in word, but in spirit and power by the Word of God, because he changed my life and I'm not the same as I was before. Amen. See, you have to understand, you're not going to understand everything. Because you're looking at an infinite God with a finite mind, and you're trying to make it where everything is for you to figure out and understand, and you're not going to. You got a question?
Do you plan to, at some point, help us reconcile election with whosoever will?
It's an impossibility. I just told you that. Didn't you listen to me? I just told you that. That's right. I just teach what Scripture says. The reconciling part is up to God, not me. Huh? We're out of time. The second bell ring? Oh, Lord. But you understand that I'm teaching something that is absolutely scriptural, but is not understandable from a human viewpoint. So the answer to your question is no. And we're offline, aren't we, brother? Oh, you better get us there.